The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Just a year ago, our lives were turned upside down.
Yes, they were.
COVID-19 arrived in Philadelphia and everything changed.
You remember this guy?
We faced uncertainty that grew more daunting as the days and weeks
remember
passed.
Remember him?
I can't take any more of him.
That's why he needed the Prosecco in the burbs.
You remember he was caught drinking wine down, where was it, Maryland or Florida?
Yes.
Or something like that?
Oh, my goodness. Let's get to, well, she's a PhD. She's doctor to you, Dr. Beth Ann Rossica. And somebody who's, you know, Beth Ann, we're on the YouTube chat, we thank all of our great listeners and viewers, but suggesting the honey badger within. I would say the honey badger in moms and education experts like yourself, I would say that it brought out the honey badger, the primal protector in all of us. How are you today?
I'm great, Dawn. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, we're looking back 5 years ago this week and what we experienced. And we made the point, yes, this week that, you know, I'm not critical of the fact that we, of course, had to deal with something we had not seen. But when I think certain power brokers got a whiff of the power they could have over people, and as it went on in the pandemic, I think they sure used it to, in many ways, I think it was an abuse of power situation. You fought it. You went to court and fought for your kids. But just your thoughts as you think back 5 years ago this week, particularly in our region, if we only knew then what we know now.
Well, thanks, Dawn. And it is a very emotional week for me. And I wrote a piece that published yesterday in Broad and Liberty about the five-year anniversary of extended school closures. And I always get really angry again when I have to write about this because it sort of is like PTSD. It brings back all of the emotion from that point in time. And I tell people this all the time. I mean, I knew 2 weeks in that something wasn't right. I mean, to your point, we didn't know, we hadn't seen anything like this before, but it just didn't make sense to me. And I started writing to Governor Wolf a month after everything had shut down, and I didn't stop, you know, until we got everyone back in school and until we got rid of the masks. I think that people absolutely saw this as an opportunity to engage in corruption and to engage in power broking. I mean, when we look at the National Teachers Union, when we look at the NEA and the AFT, and we look at Randy Weingarten and these people who just absolutely saw an opportunity to abuse power and to, you know, gain more power. And that's really what they did. I mean, they're the ones that kept schools closed. They colluded with Biden, you know, when he was in office to, you know, to keep these schools closed. That was their whole intention.
And in fact, in your latest piece, I love it, Beth Ann, because you write an open letter and talk about ultimately what this did, not just with education and parents and our trust when we send our child to school, especially a public school, but just in general, it I think it illustrates the fact that we have trust issues now, don't we, in our institutions
well,
in general.
Yes. I mean, I don't think I wrote in my piece, I don't know that people will ever trust their public schools again. And, you know, all the right to know requests that parents did and now continue to do. And that was kind of the point that I made in the piece, was that, you know, if you people had only listened to us and opened schools, we probably would have all gone away and left you alone. But because you didn't, and because you lied, and because you deceived us, we didn't go away, and we're not going to go away. We're going to continue to, you know, uncover your deceptions. And it really, I think, has broken trust. And I don't think that trust will ever be fully restored.
And forgive me, in one of the cases, and it might have been the Montgomery County case, did any of your cases end up in front of Judge Wendy Beadlestone? There were so many different cases that might have been the one in Monco.
Yeah, I think that was the one in Monco. That was not my case. Yeah.
So in yours, but you ended up in court. So just to ask you about this, did you ever imagine that you would end up in that kind of a battle and then to become you've become a public person now, right? You're now a journalist, you're writing for Broad and Liberty, This has changed your life in many ways, and I thank God for you, Beth Ann Rossica. But did you ever imagine that that would have happened?
No, Dawn. I mean, when I look back over the last 5 years of my life, if somebody had told me this 6 years ago, I would have laughed at them. I mean, we've talked about this on the show a bunch of times. I was a liberal Democrat for my entire life. You know, I supported a lot of the not the crazy progressive policies, but, you know, I was very much, you know, a hardcore Democrat. And when the COVID stuff hit, and I started reaching out to all of our Democrats elected to office, none of them would help me. None of them would respond. I mean, my own, at the time, she was the state rep, Carolyn Komita. I mean, she was terrible. She was absolutely horrible to me. And, you know, now she's a state senator and she still won't speak to me. And that's fine. But, you know, none of these people would stand up and do what was right. We were witnessing exponential child abuse and domestic violence and, you know, food insecurity, all of these awful things. And none of the Democrats would stand up and oppose it because, you know, at the time, Governor Tom Wolf was all on board with keeping everything shut down, living in his basement for months and months and months. So it became very clear to me, I mean, within months, that the Democrats weren't going to stand up and do anything about this. I wrote to Governor Wolf and I said, I will never vote for another Democrat again unless you reopen these schools. And I have not voted for a Democrat in the last 5 years because I'm still angry about the way that they handled everything. They have created a crisis that I don't know that this particular generation will ever fully recover from.
And I will say this to you, Beth Ann Rossica, and that is that you're the least, politically motivated, because like you just said, you were, you know, PhD in education, a Democrat and supported, I will say the old school, you know, what we all have Democrats and Republicans in our families, kind of the old school Democrat Party, I think. And then,
right.
In my humble opinion, what a lot of people rejected was that their Democrat Party was basically hijacked by a far left wing progressive wing.
No question.
Right? Because that's the point I always make, that it's not, a lot of times I try not to say Democrats, because the folks who are speaking out about a lot of this, they're not really the Democrats that we've known in our lives. This is a whole new thing. And I think that's important to point out.
No, I totally agree.
So I guess my question to you, because I have a lot of family who reside in the suburbs in Chester County, and they, like a lot of friends and family who live in Bucks County and Montgomery County, what they did in Chester County was they looked for a home. They first looked for a school and what they thought was the best school in the district. And then they sort of drew a circle. And I know that, and I have friends and family who've done this, like I say, Bucks, Montgomery, but especially Chesco, because they thought, hey, in Chester County, we're going way out there. So our commute is going to be longer, right? But we're going to go, because we're going to go in an area where we know that this is not going to get DEI'd or be woke or whatever. And they trusted the fact that this would be a district that would just focus on the kids and not get too political like Philadelphia has and like Monco has especially. And what they found, what they've now realized, and I have some close family members who are now scraping together money and they're looking at private schools. They want to pull, in particular, one of their kids out of the local public school, which is an, you know, excellent school, but it has gone woke. And they're really, because the superintendent's leaving, I'm not going to name names because they'll be like DMing, texting me, but so I don't want to get too personal, but it's happening in real time. And so this is, despite the change maybe at the top of the ticket, and maybe we could point to executive orders, whatever, locally, a lot of schools and superintendents, they haven't gotten the memo. And so are you worried about that?
Well, my youngest son, I pulled him out of public school and he's in a private school now. My oldest son is getting ready to graduate, so I'm not so much worried about him. But I mean, I think if people really spent time looking at what's happening in our public schools, they would be very, very surprised. I mean, when I go to open house, I see, you know, pride flags in every single classroom, every single classroom. And, you know, again, I don't have anything against people in the LGBTQ community. I just don't think it's appropriate to have those flags in our classrooms. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. These are taxpayer dollars that support, you know, our schools, and they shouldn't be political. Our kids shouldn't know what a teacher's view is on abortion or anything else. Like, it's just completely inappropriate. And I think that the schools in Chester County have really skewed very, very far in a different direction. I mean, I wrote an article earlier this week about the amount of DEI money that's been spent, you know, on these trainings for teachers. And this is going back to 2012. So this isn't even post COVID. This was way before COVID happened. Yeah. Parents did right to know request, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent with just one vendor on these trainings to, you know, tell white kids that they're, you know, oppressors, and black kids that they're victims. Like, it's just terrible. And I think that you're right. People don't think that this was happening in Chester County, and maybe in southern and the more rural parts of Chester County, it's not quite as bad. But certainly in large parts of Chester County, this is happening.
Yeah. And I always say, you know, I think it's a good policy for schools to have. Unfortunately, now you have to have a flag policy.
Right, which
is bizarre. But let's just say, let's take any different flag. Let's say that you went to your kid's school, and every classroom had a British flag. Now, they're the Brits, right? They're allies, okay? But I might look around and go, "What's up with all the British flags? Are you guys doing a history integration piece on like British history or something?" What other flag? Other than, I guess, you know, obviously the American, you know, the flag of the United States of America, what other flag would somebody consistently put across in every blackboard, in every classroom, in the school?
Right.
It's kind of odd.
Well, it's inappropriate. Just inappropriate. It should be the U.S. flag. The United States flag is what should be in every classroom. And we don't need other politically motivated information out there. It's just like, you know, you shouldn't have Black Lives Matter flags in classrooms. I mean, none of this should be a part of school. And the thing that I always talk about, Dawn, is that our test scores, our academic achievement for our kids, it's abysmal. It's absolutely abysmal. And so why are we spending time on all of these other initiatives when our kids can't read and write and do math? So that's the part that just boggles my mind. And, you know, the people that are all advocates for this DEI stuff, because, you know, there is an achievement gap with, you know, black kids and white kids. There is a difference. But, you know, in school districts that were doing this DEI stuff for 10, 12 years, things aren't getting better. That these programs don't work. If somebody showed me a study that these programs actually improved academic achievement for minority kids, I might be willing to look at that. But none of it is impacting academics for these kids. And we have a responsibility to get these kids back on track academically. It's morally reprehensible that we allow this number of kids to fall through the cracks.
And when you think, and that's just it, that for those of you just joining us, and maybe you don't know with Beth Ann Rossica, who is a PhD in education, who cares deeply, looks and evaluates all of these test scores, all of the numbers. What was the reading proficiency? The average was something like
53 statewide. The reading proficiency, reading and writing for grades 3 through 8. Is 53%, and basic math is proficient at 40%. 40% of kids across the state are proficient in math. I mean, when you say those numbers, if people aren't appalled by that, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, these numbers are abysmal. What do we think is going to happen to these young people when they're out in the workforce. I mean, you know, you can't read and write. You're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to be successful. We are failing an entire generation of children.
Yeah. It's, and I would submit to people, when we do these state averages, I think that's a lie. And when we do the national averages, because I would submit that, you know, when you have kids across, let's say, certain areas of like Bucks, Montgomery, Chesco, Delco,
yes.
There, and I'll just be blunt, there are kids in the suburbs. It goes by your, maybe your parents' level of income. It also goes by white
yep.
kids. If you did the snapshot of especially white kids living in more affluent areas, and then African-American, so-called brown and black kids, like here in Philadelphia, where kids were just banned. The classrooms were shut down, and the kids didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have a device. I would defy anybody to say that that the kids here in Philadelphia are even as high as these alleged state levels say so.
Oh no. Yeah, the numbers in Philadelphia are way below that state average. And you're right. The state average doesn't tell the full story, because you have districts in, you know, Bucks County, like Central Bucks. I'm just looking at my numbers here. 75% of kids are proficient in reading and writing, and 61% are proficient in math. So, you know, there is a big difference. But then, like in Bucks, you look at Morrisville School District, only 28% of kids are proficient in reading and writing, and only 15% are proficient in math. So, yes, there is a big disparity between, you know, school districts where parents are more affluent and economically stable. But, I mean, honestly, even in Central Bucks, for only 61% of kids to be proficient in math,
that's scary.
That's disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful.
It is. Beth Ann Rosica, we have to leave it there. Check out her latest piece at broadandliberty.com. Thanks, Beth Ann.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Have a great day.
Oh, you as well.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.